Friday Sport.
Good evening. Welcome to Friday Sport. It's Sean Cowper sitting in for Chris Cave. We're reflecting on a week of success for the Isle of Man in Gibraltar as the Island Games come to a close. We'll also look back at a week of exhilarating action at the Southern 100 as Dean Harrison claims his third straight solo title. The Isle of Man FA has a new president. We'll hear from him. And tributes come in to the former King William's College cricket coach who's died at the age of 87. Well, it's the final day of competition at the Island Games in Gibraltar, as we've been hearing on the news throughout the afternoon. And what a week it's been for the Isle of Man squad, currently sitting second in the medal table with 68 medals in total, 29 gold, 22 silver and 17 bronze, sitting just a couple of golds behind Jersey. There are still a few competitions going on, but unfortunately I'm not entirely sure that the Isle of Man's quite going to do it this time, but fingers crossed for a late surge. The action may be winding down ahead of the closing ceremony, but that hasn't stopped the Manx having a golden final day, with victories coming in the half marathon, badminton and athletics today, amongst others. Kim Clegg, who carried the flag at the opening ceremony, made history earlier this afternoon, winning the women's doubles title in badminton for a fourth straight games, partnering Jess Lee, who was also the silver medalist in the singles. Ollie Lockley took gold in the half marathon earlier, with fellow Manxman Alan Corlett crossing the line in second. Their results, along with the seventh-placed finish of Max Costley, also handed the Isle of Man gold in the team event. On the track, Rachel Franklin was victorious in the 800 metres, while David Malarkey came out on top in a tight 1500-metre race. Chris Cave has been out in Gibraltar for the duration of the Games, speaking to the Manx athletes as they've been taking part in their various events, and he'll be along later with a roundup of the action on his Daily Island Games podcast, which will be available at manxradio.com. If you have missed any of the action over the course of the week, you can download all of his podcasts from over the last 8 days or so from manxradio.com. We're going to look back at a couple of the standout performances this evening, though. Of course, over the course of the Games, there have been some heroic individual performances and team successes. And one story of determination in athletics that stands out, which is that of Hannah Riley. She's been competing at the Island Games for a ninth time and brings home the silver medal from the 100-metre hurdles. She did have to overcome injury in the last few weeks, though, to take part, and is now the most successful Manx athlete in Island Games history, with 22 medals. She's been speaking to Chris.
Potentially, I wasn't going to be on the start line, so to come out with a medal was... It's bittersweet, to be honest. I'm still quite disappointed because I always expect a little bit more of myself.
When you say you didn't expect to be on the start line, that's physical problems that you've had, struggling with a bit of an injury. So to get a silver is magnificent in itself. How is your body holding up at the moment?
Do you know what? It's been absolutely fine. I think the trouble is I came out of the winter in the last interview I had with Ed, and I was in really good shape. I've run the fastest time I'd run in ages. And 5 weeks ago, I tore a tendon in my foot, and it's my landing leg off the hurdle. So it was just not holding up enough to come off those hurdles. So I wasn't even able to warm up over the hurdles or anything because I rolled it again on Friday. But Ruth Cool strapped it up for me. So I literally had a cast of strapping and a bit of painkillers and saw me through.
Was that it that made you get to the start line? The combination of the excellent team of physios that we have for Team Isle of Man and your own personal desire to compete at the Games?
Yeah, there's no way I wasn't going to be on the start line unless I physically couldn't walk. So I was getting there no matter what. And Ruth was absolutely amazing. She like literally taped it so it wouldn't actually move either way. But unfortunately, I four strided all the way, which meant that my time wasn't great. But as I said, bittersweet. If I'd been told that I'd been given a silver medal at the beginning of that day, I would have snapped your hand off. But it's just, yeah, bittersweet.
Do you think it's that mindset which has made you so successful over the years at the Island Games?
I don't know. Stubborn, pig-headed. I hate losing. I literally hate it. And it was one of the slowest times the 100 hurdles has ever won in. So literally 5 weeks ago, I would have walked the gold medal, and that's a very hard pill to swallow. And it's one of the slowest times I've ever run in my life. So
many people will tell you that it's the taking part that counts, but I love it when you say that you hate losing. That's exactly the kind of mindset I take into competition. That's what you need to be a winner, and you truly are. And a little fairy tells me that the font of all knowledge, I should say, that is David Griffiths, says that you are now the most successful Isle of Man athletics competitor in Island Games history. What an honour. How does that feel?
Yeah, it's pretty special. I would have liked to have got my 22nd medal on with a gold one, but unfortunately I've got to settle for a silver. Do you know what? It is a great honour because the girl that I took over was Cheryl Doan, and she was a fantastic athlete, ended up going to the Olympics. And yeah, and obviously we've had other great athletes come through like Alistair Audsley, Dana Myhill, or Dana Callow, she is now, and we've got her part of our management team. So yeah, I mean, I think probably it'll sink in after the Island Games is over. I still feel a little bit disappointed at the moment.
You have been competing in, I think, 18 years ago was your first Games. So you've seen, 20 years ago was your first Games. So you've seen plenty of athletes come and go. What have you made of the current crop?
Do you know what? They're absolutely brilliant, and we seem to be producing really, really good juniors. And our athletes, I mean, we've got Ashley, who's only 19, that's come away with a gold medal. We've got Lydia, Phoebe, Keegan, Elliot, that are all under 18, absolutely smashing it, getting PBs. Bethany Carriage getting PBs. You know, it's just fabulous. We can't ask for more. You can't ask for more from an athlete to come away with a personal best in this type of competition. So yeah, they're brilliant, and I'm proud of each and every one of them.
Hannah Riley there speaking to Chris in Gibraltar, and Hannah is of course the island's athletics development officer as well, so when she speaks about those younger athletes, she does know what she's talking about.
Friday Sport.
Well, we'll be talking more about the Island Games later in the show, but it's also been an incredible week for Dean Harrison at the Southern 100, with 6 race victories and a 3rd successive solo title for the Yorkshireman. Among the wins was the Hunts Motorcycles Championship race, which saw him cross the line 13 seconds ahead of nearest rival Ryan Neen. It was also a success for Dominic Herbertson, along with Peter Founds and Jevon Walmsley in the sidecars. Here's a look back at the action from the Balaun course.
The green flag is waving. We're about to get underway with the Hunts Motorcycles Solo Championship. Away we go, and again, Dean Harrison, rocket man off the line.
Happy, happy man. Well done, Dean Harrison, Southern 100 champion 3 in the spin. What a couple of days for you and the team.
Yeah, no, it's been great, to be honest. The weather wasn't looking the best start of the week, but no, the team's brilliant, to be honest. Everyone in the team's good. So it's great, it's good, it's the sunshine, we're winning races, and it's a shame, Matt, saying Michael had a bit of a spill off early. I hope he's okay, so we could have had a bit of a race for everybody to watch, but no, it's good. My bike's brilliant, to be honest.
Why are you so good off the line?
I've probably got the best bike on the grid, to be honest.
Flies off the line, on every class.
In the 6th, I don't know, BSB's the same, to be fair. If I was as good as racing as I was at starting, I'd be doing alright, because I'm really good off the line. I don't know why, I can't answer your question, I don't know, I've always been good at getting off the start line, just from day one, to be honest. I don't know, I ain't got an explanation for it, to be fair.
This is history, 6 in a week, 23 in all. The big wheelie goes down the whole length of the straight there of the bypass from Dean Harrison. He has stamped his authority on the 2019 Southern 100 meeting. Solo champion.
Safe to say you love this place, don't you?
Yeah, no, it's great to come round. And massive thanks to all the crowd, waving all the heads. The crowd the whole way around the track and all the marshals. It's great to see everyone enjoying themselves today. No, it's good.
What about next year? Looking forward to that already?
We've got Snetterton next. I look forward now to BSB next weekend at Snetterton. So we're straight onto that and see how we get on.
Will he be at the front at that at Snetterton?
I'd probably not do, to be honest. I'll be honest with you. But
it's helped you though this year, hasn't it, going to do that?
100%. You can't, yeah. It's the best. It's the most competitive championship you can ever go to, be honest. You know, it definitely does bring you on the road, so it's good.
It is number 2 sitting up on the bike. It's Dominic Herbertson with another victory here. Dominic takes the victory, and it's a comfortable one as well. And Ivan Linton, I'm sure, as Roy was saying, will be very happy to see his bike, the Daffabet bike, up on the top step of the podium.
The RC Express team and Adam put a fantastic bike together, and obviously it's proven time and time again. Over the moon, Chris.
And thanks to the Davies Motorsport team for letting you ride it, yeah?
Oh, well, obviously, what I mean?
I'll do your job for you.
Oh, you're a good man. But obviously, without the Davies Motorsport team, I wouldn't be here at all. And, they've put so much into me. And me riding's proven that now. They're taking a big chance with us, and hopefully I can pay them back. And obviously, it's kind enough to let me go off and learn, extra crafts and extra skills. And that's what they're doing. And great bunch of lads.
Well done, Dom.
Cheers, mate.
Well done.
Oh, side by side, and I think it's going to be 72. Pete Fownes and Jevon Walmsley get it by 0.131 of a second from John Holden and Lee Kane. What a finish to the Steam Packet 700 races.
Jevon Walmsley, let's take that lid off. Let's talk to the Southern. See the minister first. There you go. Let's talk to the Southern 100 champion.
I can't believe it, Chris. I'm absolutely over the moon. Can't believe it. I'm gutted for Tim and for Al. Both made mistakes, but you know it is what it is. It's racing, so.
Where was the mistake from Al? You two were so close to here. You were nearly in the hedge coming through here one lap.
I was trying to get the outside. Well done, John. Brilliant that, mate. Great race. He was just on the inside, and we're leaving. There's no more room on the braking there. You know, we're leaving it till the very, very last minute, and you know, unfortunately, Al just was on the inside and couldn't sustain turning right at Ballykeegan and went straight on. So, you know, it's sad to see him go, to be fair, because I love racing against him. But Mr. Holden soon took up his honours and chased me to the end. So, yeah, it's real.
Any bashing?
No. Do you know what? We've not touched fairings once, and that's what it's all about. And John gave me room, I gave him room, and brilliant, great racing, really enjoyed
British
it.
British Championships, TT, whatever, what about being a Southern 100 champion? Because you look at the who's won this over the years.
Yeah, do you know, the biggest thing, Chris, is just I'm just made up to be on the top step, to come here and win. It's just fantastic. I could never have dreamed I'd
win. Second year
here, yeah, so just amazed, yeah, really, really pleased.
A look back there at some of this year's Southern 100 action. And back to the Island Games now, and it's been an incredible week for one of the island's cyclists, Becky Story. She'll be bringing home a suitcase full of medals, including gold from the individual time trial, the team time trial, and also the team town criterium, along with a silver in the women's team road race, making her one of the more decorated Manx athletes at these games. After her victory in the time trial, she spoke to Chris.
It was disgustingly fun, but yeah, I loved it, but it was disgusting. It was one of the hardest things I've ever done, yeah.
When were the times in that race where you felt like you were ready to quit, ready to give in, or did you always have the
100%, metal? Yeah, 100%. And I hit the climb, there were so many times I was contemplating getting off and walking, but it was just one of those things that I said to myself before the start that I would only ever be disappointed if I didn't give it my all. And if I finish and I give it my all, how could I be disappointed? So I'm absolutely made up.
They call these the friendly games. And what was brilliant to see all through that steep climb was it didn't matter the nationality of the rider. The people there, the fans, were willing everybody on.
It was absolutely amazing. Like, I don't think I generally would have got up that climb if it wasn't for the spectators today. Like you said, any nationality, there was always someone screaming and getting you up that hill, and it really did make the difference, because I don't think I would have got up it without it. It was incredible.
Describe it as disgustingly fun.
Yeah.
Contrast the feeling of getting up that incredibly steep climb to the top of the Rock of Gibraltar to actually crossing that finish line.
Yeah, it was it's a long way. Like, we did it at the start of the week, we did it twice, we did it kind of easier and harder, and I love climbing. Like, I love it just because of how hard it is and the achievement that you feel at the end of it. But that was, like I said, it was nothing I've ever done, and I think it was honestly a blur. I got across the finish line, tried to get off my bike, thinking I'd just want to sit down, forgetting what my legs had done, and fell. I was like, yeah, I had nothing left to give.
The organisers were priding themselves on making this one of the most difficult routes for cyclists. By your reaction, I think they achieved that.
Oh yeah, definitely. I wouldn't call that a time trial, that's a hill climb. 100%, yeah, it was unreal.
And also there was the added obstacle on the route there of pedestrians coming down the hill, and also some macaques on the course as well. Did they pose any problem for you?
No, they were actually all right. I was a bit worried before the event. Obviously in the week, like I said, we came up it twice and we had a few incidents with the monkeys, and I was like, oh god, if one of them runs out in front of me in the race, that's not going to be ideal. But no, it was absolutely fine. I think if anything, the spectators would have scared them away. Like I said, they were so loud. It was insane.
And you've just found out that you are indeed the winner, and that one of your teammates was fourth, so you must be pretty hopeful that you'll be among the medals for the team.
Hopefully, yeah, I'm absolutely made up, and for all the girls, like, we absolutely smashed it as a team, and I think we at the start of the week, obviously with Tara winning team gold, I mean, we got team gold and her winning individual gold, it was exactly what we needed, you know, start as we need to go on.
And just a word finally for you to thank those in the team who have helped you get this far and also spurred you on today.
Oh yeah, like I said, I couldn't have done it without them, and like the girls are incredible. We all motivate each other, and like, yeah, it's an amazing experience being here. Well, very grateful.
Manx cyclist Becky Storey there speaking to Chris Cave with her three golds and one silver at the Island Games. And some of the swimmers as well, they've also been having some exceptional individual performances and certainly bringing home quite a few pieces of medals with them. Alex Bragazzi, seven golds, one silver, one bronze in the pool. Also, Joel Watterson with five golds and three silver, and Laura Kinley as well, four golds, four silver. So a big well done to all of them. And if cycling is your thing, you might be interested in taking part in the Cyclefest Gran Fondo this weekend. It's a different format for the event this time, with four different routes aimed at cyclists of all ages and abilities, including the rather testing 85-mile Gran Fondo. There's going to be some hills on that route. The entry is initially closed last Sunday, but due to demand, there's a 48-hour late entry window, which is currently open and will be open until midnight tonight. So if you suddenly have the urge to take part, full details of the routes, and you can also submit your entry at granfondoiom.com. And there are some road closures associated with that event as well. You can find full details on the government's roads page. Well, we've been talking a lot about some of the athletes having success at the Island Games, but that success doesn't just come in the form of medals. The Isle of Man women's basketball team made it to the last four of their competition, despite there not being a women's league on the island. A victory over Guernsey helped them reach the bronze medal match. And ahead of today's third place decider, Chris spoke to Becky Dunn.
We knew it was going to be tough. And some of these girls, you know, it's their first Island Games. But we have been preparing for the physicality by playing the men. So, you know, we got there. We put up a good fight that first half. We've suffered a few injuries, so probably missing a few players. That second half is where the fatigue cut in. And that's really where they just stepped on and pushed ahead. But we enjoy it, we love it, we have a great relationship with them, and we wish them luck in the final.
It was extremely physical, extremely draining for you fitness-wise as well. There's no women's league in the Isle of Man. Do you think it was beneficial for you playing in the men's?
Definitely beneficial in terms of physicality and the jump. So, you know, we've got some 6-foot men in our league back home, so, you know, none of these girls are probably ever going to hit that height. But the only difference is, I guess, in the men's league, we have to play with a size 7. And the sudden change then to a size 6, suddenly we're overpowering the ball, you know, we're throwing it much harder. But yeah, no, definitely we would love to see a ladies league come back, you know, we miss playing women. But yeah, no, the men have been amazing in helping us prepare ourselves to get ready for the game, and that's probably why we've had such a successful game. You know, it's been a long time since we've been in a semi-final, and we'll be fighting against the home team Gibraltar tomorrow for the bronze medal, so it's a great position to be in for ladies basketball, definitely.
I mean, despite the loss today, do you feel it has been an extremely successful game for you? Do you feel, if anything, you've overachieved?
Yeah, massively. The Menorca coach, right before we started, actually said to us that he was glad to see us here. He said it's been a long time coming, you know, we've worked. Gibraltar and Guernsey were the ones where we were aiming, you know, to get ourselves fighting for a medal, and we've done that. So to go out tomorrow, whatever happens, we'll finish top four. And, you know, then prepare us for the next 2 years when hopefully, you know, we'll just see what happens. But massively, you know, if anything, this was what we wanted, top four, and we have achieved that. So going out tomorrow, we've got nothing to lose, and we just want to fight as hard as we can to maybe take home that medal.
Well, unfortunately, it wasn't to be for the Manx team, an 82-31 defeat by host nation Gibraltar in the bronze medal match earlier. Well, away from the Island Games, the Isle of Man Football Association has elected its new president this week. Tony Meppham, a familiar name to regular listeners of Friday Sport, had previously held the position of vice president for 16 years until he was chosen to succeed Tony Jones. He's been speaking to Ed Oldham.
It's a real honour, and I think what really brings it home is that it's voted by the clubs. It's not like a committee of some people. It's the clubs that vote for you, and you know, I've got big shoes to fill, and Tony Jones, he's been there for a long time. And before that, Peter Kelly was 20-odd years, and before that was Eric Fletcher for 20 odd years. Well, I can rest assured that I won't be there for 20 years because I'll be long and truly gone. But yeah, it's a big position, but there's great people in that association to make things happen. And even though you're sort of classed as the president, it's team effort. And hopefully that any problems that do come in, that we can sort them out and get things more positive than negative.
You know, listing the people there that have been president for long periods. You yourself have been vice president for 16 years, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been a long, long time. And to be honest with you, Ed, I didn't put my name forward for the presidency. I just said that, you know, I'm coming, if you like, to a celebration birthday, getting older. But I just thought, no, not for me. Maybe young blood come in. But one or two people persuaded me, just saying, you've been there, you know, for 16 years as vice president, been on the FA for, you know, 35 years. You've got a lot of experience, and really it's a fitting reward for the work that you've put in. But things have changed so much since I first came on the FA. I've learnt an awful lot from Eric Fletcher, Peter Kelly and Tony Jones. And it's totally changed now. It's a team, and that's what it needs to be to make things, I think, better in Manx football, because, you know, some great people out there, club members, and it's just a question of getting the best for those club members and also for the clubs.
There are always new issues for a president to tackle. What do you see as being the key issues or things that need working on within Manx football at the moment?
I think there's two or three key ones, and you know, 4 months ago, Tony Jones said that he was going to step down. So behind the scenes, I've been talking to one or two people, certainly at Junior League, Brian Callow, one, who's the chairman. And just he was really worried about what could happen at the end of the season and where they would be at the start of the season. Their AGM isn't until sort of mid-August, but it does look as if there's people in place now who will take those responsible positions on, which is a massive plus, because an unhappy Junior League then filters through to the Senior League. Over the last year or so, we've tried to get the Junior League and the Senior FA to work closer, and I think that's happened now. You know, Mark Kelly, who's been brought in as an administrator for the Junior League, it's a semi-paid position because he's retired, but we want him in the association headquarters, so, you know, it all sort of fits nicely. And, you know, with Brian's leadership in the Junior League and the Senior League sort of new board members coming in as well, hopefully it'll push football forward. But the two sort of main concerns at the moment that we've got is certainly the changing rooms at Pull Rose. They're in a poor condition. The clubs have been working on it tirelessly with the association to try and get Football Foundation grants. Douglas Corporation have been absolutely brilliant in their support to put a new building there. But what we're looking at is there's four pitches down there, but there's only going to be two sets of changing rooms. Can we sort of sneak another set of changing rooms in and get a club down there playing at Springfield Road or even Groves Road? So that's something that's working on at the moment. But
that's the new Isle of Man FA president Tony Meppham there speaking to Ed Oldham. Well, as we've been hearing in the news this afternoon, the former King William's College cricket coach and Lancashire County cricket captain Jackie Bond has died at the age of 87. Having led Lancashire to 5 one-day trophies, he came to the island in the 70s. He coached many local cricketers during his time on the island, including Manx Radio's Tim Glover. Tim, tell us about Jackie Bond's career.
Yes, Jackie Bond, an inspirational captain. Wasn't the most maybe talented bowler. In fact, I don't think he ever got a first-class wicket, but he bowled some leg spin now and again. But as a batsman, middle order, lower order, he did score 12,823 runs in quite a long career. But he's most famous for his captaincy of Lancashire between 1968 and 72, where he led them to 5 one-day trophies, including 3 successive Gillette Cup wins. And I think in an era that players didn't throw themselves around in the field, there was one of those finals in 1971 where he took a real big tumbling catch and it turned the game in Lancashire's favour, and they went on to win. And in that year, he was also named as the Wisden Cricket of the Year for his captaincy. So 461 games, 12,823 runs, pretty special career. Now, he was captain at the time in that Lancashire side that also had the West Indies skipper at the time, Clive Lloyd. It had Farouk Brooke Engineer, another famous wicketkeeper of the time, and David Lloyd, a young up-and-coming batsman who went on to play an Open for England and, of course, now is known as Bumble and reports and commentates on Sky Sports. So an inspirational captain, as I think, for Lancashire, the Red Rose County, is how he'll be remembered for during his playing career.
Well, what about his time on the Isle of Man?
Well, King William's College were very lucky to secure his services after his career at Lancashire came to an end, and he played and coached many people on the island of that vintage, and was a very, very likeable and humble person as well, but had a great sense of fun and mischief about him as well. And I was coached by him in my time at King William's College as well, and he certainly knew his stuff, that was for sure, and highly respectful of him. But he also rather quirkily turned himself into a very good table tennis player while he was on the island, and he formed a team at King William's College and took them to the top of the table tennis leagues, and in fact went on to win the island championship himself as well. So he's one of those people that could turn his hand to almost anything, but a fantastic cricketer, particularly as a captain and a man manager, and that's what came across most when he was at King William's College. But the fun side was also there too.
Tim Glover reflecting on the career of Jackie Bond, who's died at the age of 87. And that's just about all we've got time for on Friday Sport this evening. This episode will also be available as a podcast shortly. Join me again at 12:30 tomorrow for Saturday Sport. Have a good evening.